Let us again read from the Word of God, from the 119th Psalm, Psalm 119, from verse 153 to verse 176, that is to the end of the Psalm, the last three sections of this great Psalm that expresses the psalmist's faith in God and the greatness of God's everlasting word. So Psalm 119 from verse 153, verse 153. The psalmist writes, "Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and am disgusted, because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts, your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments." And may God bless the reading of his holy word. Our text this morning is found in the portion of scripture that we read, Psalm 119, and the final verse, verse 176. "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments." In some ways, it may seem a strange conclusion to this great psalm that dwells on the Word of God and all the Word of God teaches and contains. The psalmist, throughout the psalm, is expressing his faith in God, and yet the final verse is not some great affirmation of that, but a confession of his own weakness and need, while at the same time there is a confession of faith. But is that not the reality of the Christian life most of the time? That there is our great weakness on the one hand, and his great strength, God's great strength, upon the other. Weakness and strength, our weakness, his strength, our need, and indeed our faith. I do not forget your commandments. And yet I have wandered like a lost sheep. There is this great need. And so the psalmist in this final section prays, first of all. There is the prayer that comes. Prayer for understanding. Prayer for deliverance. Then there is the praise that must come forth from the believing heart. The response to the reality of God. And finally, there is his recognition, the recognition of the provision, the glorious provision God makes for his people. We have prayer, we have praise, we have provision. And first, there is this prayer. And he prays for what we all pray for, first of all, understanding. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. This is a perplexing, a difficult, confusing world we live in. We see that the events of the world, so often there are those of the wicked who are in great power and authority, and the righteous are persecuted and trampled under them. We see the wicked going from worse to worse. And what relief is there? It is a perplexing world. Give me understanding according to your word. Because there are all kinds of people who try to give some sort of explanation of the world. That's why you have philosophy professors at universities, why you have philosophers, opinion column writers, and all sorts of people. Of course, in our modern world, with the World Wide Web, anybody can get their idea of what's going on out into the world. Just coming down the Waterloo Road this morning, I saw above that takeaway just up the road a bizarre sign. You might, if you go that way, look at it. And it's from some odd conspiracy group whose idea of understanding the world is extremely strange. Great big billboard expressing somebody's idea of how the world works. You can find them all over the place. Mosque, Islamic Centre down the road here, and so on. All sorts of people saying this is how the world works, but only God can tell you how the world really works. You want to know the truth of the world, you take this book and you read it and you understand it. The Bible, give me understanding according to your word. When Job was suffering, his friends came to him, and there was no lack of advice saying, this is your problem, Job. Miserable comforters are you all, Job told them. They misunderstood. They thought, well, he's suffering. He must have done something horribly wrong to deserve it. Of course, that is, to some extent, what the idea of karma is, that all the suffering in the world ultimately comes from the bad things that you did. If you suffer, you deserve it. Well, that is not what the Bible says. We see the Lord Jesus Christ, the great sufferer, the one, the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. This man has done nothing wrong. This man suffers for the sins of others. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. The God who has made the world has spoken. And in our trials, in our sorrows, and in our joys, give me understanding must be the prayer, according to your word, not the feelings I have on the inside. I dare say our feelings betray us day by day. We think something. We imagine something, and it is not so. But God's word, God knows all things. He is, as the hymn writer says, too wise to be mistaken and too good to be unkind. Give me understanding according to your word. That is our first prayer, that God may grant us to understand something of what is going on, to understand. Again, the psalmist tells us that his feet had almost slipped when he saw the prosperity of the wicked, but when he came into the sanctuary, then he understood their end. When he came into the sanctuary, there he was taught of God, taught by God the reality that however prosperous the wicked may be now, there is judgment to come. The Apostle Paul, when he appeared before the authorities, he reasoned of righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. The Holy Spirit, when he is come, he convicts the world. And he convicts of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. He gives understanding of the fact that this world is fallen. We cannot say, as the philosopher, whatever is good, but God tells us, no, our recognition that whatever isn't necessarily good is not wrong. Understanding according to his word, he tells us why it is wrong that man is fallen into sin, and sin is the problem and Christ is the answer. God does not simply give us understanding of our felt needs, but our unfelt needs. You go to those who know nothing about Christ. What are their felt needs? Well, many of them, most people feel that they could do with a bit more money in the bank, could do with a little easier life. Those are the felt needs that so many have. But what does the Bible say? What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? It profits him nothing, though he is rich and at ease, yet he perishes if he has not Christ. What shall it profit a man if he should lose his own soul, though he gains the whole world? And the Lord speaks this parable, the ground of a certain rich man had yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? His felt need was, I need more storage space for my crops. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. That sort of little felt need doesn't really need God. He can do it himself, he thinks. And I will say to my soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Eat, drink, and be merry, he said, and forgot that the last part of that proverb is, for tomorrow you die. And tomorrow, that night, he died. And that great unfelt need he had forgotten. God and all his ways. Pray that we may have understanding to live as God would have us live. Not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds by the Holy Spirit, to walk in his ways, his path. Not to look at the world and say, well, what does the world say is good? But to say, what does God say is good? What is the way that God says this is the way? You walk in that. Prayer for understanding. And then prayer for deliverance. The people of God are often tried and troubled. The little flock is persecuted. Even as the Lord Jesus Christ was hated, those who follow him are also hated. If you want to be popular with the world, don't be a Christian. Basically, if you want to be popular with the world, don't be a Christian. Be something else. But what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and all its applause and loses his own soul? To be popular with the world, friendship with the world that is in its opposition to God, is itself opposition to God. And so the world hates the followers of Christ just as it hated Christ and sought his death. Deliver me, therefore, is a cry that must go up again and again. Deliver me from unreasonable and unrighteous men. Princes persecute me without a cause, the psalmist says. Not just ordinary people, but princes, those who are rulers, those in authority. The persecuted church is the normal state of the church. And not persecuted only by the rabble, the common mob, but by princes and rulers and kings and presidents and whatever else name they may hold for themselves. Princes are those in authority. Deliver me, O Lord. And he does deliver. There are times when he delivers people from death. When the Apostle Peter was imprisoned by Herod and awaiting death, the angel came into his cell, opened the door, struck the chains, his chains fell off, and he was led out to liberty. He was delivered from death. But James, his old friend James, the apostle, he was beheaded. He was delivered through death. Because the Lord Jesus says, do not fear those who can slay the body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. That is God, not man. Man can slay the body and then that's it. He can't do any more than that. He cannot reach, he cannot touch the soul. But God takes the soul of the martyred believer to himself. Lord Jesus, said Stephen as he died, receive my spirit. And the Lord Jesus received him. He can deliver his people through death because we look for the resurrection of the dead. I am able, he says, and I will raise up on the last day those who put their trust, who believe in me. I will raise him up on the last day, Jesus says. I give to my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. And so then there is the praise that comes. And that's the response to God's word. God has spoken. What a marvellous thing that is. We could not know about salvation if God had not told us of the Saviour. We could not know God's love if God had not spoken of his love, if God had not spoken of his grace. And the whole Bible is a revelation, ultimately, of the grace of God. We have his creation at the beginning. He has created. And when we look at the creation, even damaged and spoiled as it is, then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. We see him record the fall. How Adam and Eve offended. They disbelieved. They set themselves against God and brought ruin on all their descendants. But we see then how God in his mercy, even when they had sinned, he spoke to them. And in his words there was a word of one who would come, who would be the seed of the woman, who would bruise, who would crush the head of that old serpent, the devil. And all through the Bible we see God working in deliverance and in grace as well as in judgment. He shows us his judgment that we may learn to flee from the wrath to come. He shows us his mercy that we may know there is one that we can flee to who will deliver, who will save. And so we praise him because he has spoken pure words, good words, excellent words, words of eternal life. Words of grace. We praise him because of what he has said. This is our proper response to the word of God. We hear the word and we praise him that he has spoken such glorious things. My lips shall utter praise for you. Teach me your statutes. He teaches us. And he teaches by the Holy Spirit who applies the word to our souls. The person who has not been born again very often doesn't see in the Bible, does not see in the Bible what is there. The natural man cannot receive the things of God. And so the natural man will run here and there trying somehow to give up the Bible. But when the Holy Spirit starts to work in a person's heart, that person, instead of accepting the sort of shallow arguments that are offered by a Richard Dawkins, that are offered by a Bart Ehrman, one of these people who seems to be brought up again and again by the television, rather than accepting these shallow and false arguments, says, but are these things really so? And goes deep, deep into the scriptures and praises God for what he has done and what he has said. The person in whom the Holy Spirit is working cannot be an unbeliever. See, the world says miracles don't happen. The world says miracles can't happen. And the Bible says miracles have happened. Christ rose from the dead on the third day. He is alive forevermore. Which will you believe? The Christ who is risen again, or the men who have covered their eyes and their ears and refused to believe in even the possibility of a miracle. But Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The evidence is in the resurrection itself, is in the Holy Scripture itself. And we give thanks that he has so revealed himself in his Son. God has spoken by the prophets. God speaks to us by his Son, Jesus Christ. We praise him. We praise him for his deliverance, for what we have known already, as well as praying for that deliverance to come, and ultimately, of course, indeed, that deliverance at the second coming. We praise him for his providence, for his grace. We look back and we can say, hither by thy help we've come. By God's help I have come where I am. And if I cannot see, and I cannot see the future, yet I can see Jesus, yet we see Jesus. We see him revealed in the word, we hear what he has said. And we praise him for the cross, which is the great deliverance. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. The great need we have is to be delivered from sin. That tyrant sin, that worst of tyrants the world's ever known. And the world has known many tyrants, a Hitler, a Stalin. Many tyrants, a Nero, Caesar. All these tyrants piled up do not together add up to the tyranny of sin that holds people's souls in slavery, abject slavery. But Christ comes to destroy that tyrant, to set the captives free. We praise him for that great deliverance upon the cross, that he died for our offences, he was delivered for our offences, he was raised again from the dead for our justification. Here is the grace of God, the mercy of God. So we give thanks. We praise him for all that he has done in the cross. We give thanks as we come round the Lord's table that Christ died for our sins. And we remember him. And thirdly, the provision. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. He confesses his weakness, and we must confess our weakness. So often we are like the Father in the Scriptures, in the Gospels, who must cry out, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. These two things, faith and unbelief, struggle within the Christian. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. I have not loved you as I should. I have not trusted you as I should. I have not followed your commandments as I should. Christ teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, and then forgive us our trespasses. Daily, daily we need that forgiveness. Daily we pray. Daily we find this struggle. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. He has given the word, first of all. He has given those commandments so that the believer is not like the godless. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. That is to say, they have forgotten. Again, it is time for you to act, O Lord, he prays, for they have regarded your law as void, as no longer relevant. As some portions in our legal system are, in that sense, void. They've been voided by later laws in the country, but that's never the case with God's law, because God's law is based on his own eternal, unchanging self. His word is given as a provision to guide us, to lead us, so that we know when we are astray. The Christian knows, I have gone astray, I have done what I should not have done, and I have not done what I should have done. But he has provided pardon for sin in the blood of Jesus Christ. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. A lost sheep needs a shepherd. And we have a good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus found me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He, to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood, says the hymn writer. The lost sheep is sought by the shepherd, and the shepherd takes the sheep and carries it home rejoicing. The good shepherd has died for our sins, that we might be forgiven. What a marvelous thing it is that he gives not only instruction but forgiveness. Because if all we have is the instruction of the word of God and we go astray like lost sheep, the word of God comes and it condemns us. And rightly so, it condemns us. But it does not leave us condemned. The law is there to lead us to Christ, to say, you cannot save yourself, so stop trying. Here is a Saviour who is Christ the Lord, who delivers us out of unrighteousness, so that we may walk in holiness and righteousness before him. He seeks his people, the good shepherd who brought us at first when we first believed, he brought us out of darkness into light when we first believed. And then he keeps on shepherding his sheep. My sheep hear my voice and follow me, Jesus says. And it is a marvellous thing to watch the Eastern shepherd leading his sheep, and they go in a great line behind him, following him wherever he goes. He leads us, he tends us, he guides us, he shepherds us. He feeds us by himself. Again, we have this ordinance of the Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, the great thanksgiving he has given us, which pictures to us this great fact, which declares to us this great fact that Christ is the Good Shepherd, and that the provision he gives us is himself. I am the bread, he says, which came down out of heaven, that we by faith feed on him. He gives his own flesh and blood to us as our provision. That's what he says in the gospel. It's a startling picture, a marvelous picture, that he gives his own. He says this, the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The life that we live is sustained by his death. And by his now eternal life that he has, he communicates that life to his people. We feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Christ gives himself. The greatest provision we have is Jesus Christ, who is the living Word of God, the one who shows us the Father, who is the Good Shepherd, who leads us in the way of righteousness, who is the great sacrifice, who dies for our sin, who is the bread that came down out of heaven, who feeds us with his own body and blood, who is the living vine. United with him, we have life. Who is the door by which we come in to God's kingdom and enjoy God's rest. What a provision he has given. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. And he comes as the God-man, Jesus of Nazareth, to seek. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so we speak these words ourselves. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandment. We pray to God. We cannot live as the atheist who never prays, who sees no need of prayer. But we pray that God would grant understanding, grant deliverance and grace to help in time of need. We praise him that we know our prayers are heard because he has spoken to us. And he provides for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, who seeks, who saves, and who leads. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Amen.